Welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad to have you, and I hope that your Christmas days were filled with joy. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of this service today. At the time that we recorded this service, we invited several members of our serve team. In fact, we invited them all, and many of them were able to come. So I'm joined today by what I'm going to call a studio audience, and that is all the people in the room. Let's hear it from you guys. Welcome. Wow, that's awesome. This is great. Hey, thank you all for being here in the room, and then thank you for tuning in online. It's really, really an honor and a joy, quite frankly, to have you. I say this often, I feel slightly repetitive, but I really, really appreciate technology, and I love that we can stay connected even when we are far apart. And so at Church on the Rock, we have a lot of amazing things going on. A lot of things are ahead of us, one of which is that we are planning an expansion in the new year, dates to be released very soon, but we're planning a expansion in the new year. We're going to be moving over into San Augustine High School, transitioning our current campus into a kids campus, a lot of logistics and a lot of things going on. In light of that, quite honestly, we just decided, listen, we need to pour our focus, our energy, and our attention into that. And through the Christmas season, we just decided, listen, our serve team is unbelievable. They are so sacrificial. They're so life-giving. What if we just give them a break in this season, give them an opportunity to enjoy family, catch their breath, because there's a lot ahead of us in the new year. And so that's what this is all about. That's why you are here in the room, everyone. And that's why we are meeting you in your living rooms and at your homes today. So I want to welcome you and thank you for being a part of it. One more time, let's give it up for those tuning in online. Love you guys. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So we are in a series, and today we're going to wrap up this series that we've been in, and the question has been, got joy. Y'all remember the old got milk thing, right? That's kind of where the idea came from, and the idea is, hey, do you, and I've said this every week, I think that it's not good English, but it's a good question, do you got joy? And we've been talking about how to discover a joy that is not just dictated by our circumstances, but actually goes deep within who we are, and something that can supersede whatever it is that we might be feeling or going through, times of loss or difficulty, trial, tribulation, whatever the case may be. Our heart is that, man, that how can we find a joy that goes beyond all that? That's what the series has been all about. And so the whole time, I've been starting with a joke, and I would like to start with another one. Is that okay if I start with a joke? So this guy, he's just in his car, you know, he's driving down the road, and just about his business, doing his normal thing. But he's beginning to swerve a little bit. The car's sort of, you know, between sort of bumping the dotted line on this side, and it's bumping the solid line on this side. And as he's traveling a little ways, an officer winds up behind him and just sort of follows him for a little bit and says, yeah, I don't know, this guy may have something going on. So the lights come on and he pulls the gentleman over. And so when he gets up to the window, as deputies and officers do, he said, sir, do you know why I've pulled you over? He says, no, sir, I have no idea why you would pull me over. I'm not sure. And he said, well, I was following you in traffic a little bit, and you were just sort of all over the road. And the question that I was wanting to ask you is this, have you been drinking tonight? And the driver just responded. He said, just water. And okay, I understand. He said, but sir, when you rolled down your window, I really got this smell of alcohol, and I'm not really sure that you're telling me the truth. And he said, well, officer, the only thing I've been drinking all night is water. And he said, well, sir, what's that substance that's in your cup in the center console? It's red, and to me, it looks like wine. And the driver just looks over and he says, well, officer, I guess the Lord has done it again. All right. I like that joke. I think it's a funny joke. Amen. All right, we're going to get right into today's message. And so because most of us are tuning in online, there are notes if you would like them. And there is a link in the description if you want those there. Those that are in the room, we did distribute notes. You can follow along if you want to. But here's where we've started each week of the series is in this Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says that suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This is the night that Jesus was born. that suddenly this angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. This is what we talked about last Sunday in our candlelight service, the radiance of the Lord's glory. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring," what is it going to bring? "Great joy, and it's going to be for all people." This is the idea. This is what we're trying to discover as a church family, that, man, we want this joy that's available to all people. And what I love the most is the very next verse, we get clarity. It's almost as if the writer is saying, make no mistake about where this joy comes from. It is the Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so we're going to dig more into this tonight, but I want to do a little bit of review. So over the course of this series, I've been giving us some statements, some things that we've been saying. So this won't be in any of your notes today, but I want to remind you of some things that we've said throughout the series. And the first thing is, we said joy is more than a feeling. It's bigger than that. It has feelings and it feels good. It's more than that. It goes deeper than that. And we've said this, that joy is a mindset. There's a particular way that I can think, that I can focus, that I can align my thoughts with the Word of God, that I can align my thinking with the mind of Christ, and because of that, I can experience joy. Something else we've said in this series is this. We've said that happy is determined by what's going on around me. When things go my way, it makes me happy. When I get stuff I want, I'm happy. Hopefully yesterday at Christmas, you were happy. Hopefully you got some things, right? And you had happiness. But then we've said this, that joy is determined by what's going on within me. It's much deeper. It's much deeper. It's not circumstantial. It's far beyond our circumstances. It runs much deeper than that. We talked about having complete joy. And man, I can have the joy that Jesus offers when he said, "I want your joy to be complete." Today, I want to say this to us, just a couple thoughts that I have. And I really want us in this message to focus on this center word, focus, because what I want us to hear is this, that a temporary focus starves our joy. A temporary focus, it'll starve us of joy. I want you to, if you would, this morning, get your mind around a magnifying glass. Can you see it? Can you just imagine it? I want you to imagine a magnifying glass. And I think we all could agree that the idea of a magnifying glass is to help us focus. There's something that the magnifying glass does, and it's right in its title. It magnifies. I know that's a little silly, but just follow me. And here's what I want to talk about today when we think about focus. Is that what we focus on gets bigger. It gets bigger. And there's a danger in always having a temporal focus and only focusing on the here and the now. And here's the thing, it's too easy to do. It's really easy to do because we live in the here and now and we like to feel happy. And certain things matter. And we the temporary has a major effect on how I am in this moment. And so it's really, really easy to just put our magnification glass, our focus on this temporary life in this temporary world. But the reality is that if we have a temporary focus, it will starve our joy. And I give you example after example after example. And all my examples are probably silly to most people, and I apologize, but you know, like it was one thing when your team used to just win. And then all of a sudden you wanted them to win like the conference or the division. And then now you're not happy unless they're winning the championship, right? Because I always want more. I used to be really happy with this income, but then I got promoted and got a better income. And now I have a different lifestyle, a different way of being. And now I see a new opportunity, and now I want what's next, because the flesh will always want more. Isn't that right? And so the reality is that as hard as it is, and I promise you I'm preaching to me, because it's easy for me to be temporarily focused. It's just way easy. In fact, I think it's easy for all of us. But when I do get my attention, my focus, my magnification on the temporary, it will start to steal my joy, because what used to bring me joy isn't enough anymore. And now I need more, and now I need more, and now I need more. So what we're going to say is this, that an eternal focus feeds our joy. And it really does. When we can get our minds in this reality that, like, and I love the way I've heard this said, I've adopted this language from one of my heroes in the faith. He says, there's more to this life than this life. There's just more. And I love the phraseology of that statement, because it really challenges a temporary mindset. And it really puts my mind into a place where it's like, yeah, I need to think about the eternal. I need to think about what's going to happen in eternity. And the treasures, the Bible talks about storing up treasure in heaven and not worrying about the things here on earth. And sometimes I just get way overwhelmed with things here on earth. You know, new cars and good stuff to eat and comfortable living and, you know, a bigger TV on Christmas Day in Jesus' name, right? You know, like, whatever it is, it's just easy. And it really is. It's just easy for us to do that. But our mindset is this, that, man, if we stay focused on temporary things, it's going to starve us of the joy that can go beyond our circumstances. But if we will keep a focus, magnify the eternal, it'll actually feed and fuel the joy that we're talking about in this series. I love this quote right here from C.S. Lewis. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. That's powerful. That's a very powerful statement. And I just know that it's easy to aim at earth. It's easy to think about here now. It's easy to think about temporary. But joy comes from the recognition as followers of Jesus that there's more going on. The story's not about me, but I get to play a part in this story, right? And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to give us three things that I think will help us have, and here's my title today, that'll help us to have lasting joy, like joy that lasts. And so three thoughts that I want to give you, and I got to give all the credit away today, okay? I do. I got to give all the credit away. Because let me back up real quick. Because my son-in-law, Jonathan, was leading our Tuesday morning prayer service just a handful of weeks ago. And which, by the way, if you're tuning in online, you don't know who that is. The one that led us in worship today is the guy with the guitar. That's my son-in-law. The young lady beside him, that's my oldest daughter. And so a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan was leading our Tuesday morning prayer service. And he was talking about joy. And he dropped three points on us that day. He said, point number one, point number two, point number three. And I thought, dang, that's good. Like, that's really good. And so I just shot him a text later that week. I was working on this message. And I shot him a text later that week. And I said, hey, man, with your permission, I'd like to just steal all three of your points and use them on a Sunday. And then he leveraged some things against me. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you pay a mortgage payment for me or something. And maybe, no, it wasn't like that. He said, go for it, man. I think it's great. So all the credit to him. But watch this verse. This is where we're going to begin. The Bible says in Psalm, there are many who pray, give us more blessings, O Lord. Look on us with kindness. Verse 7, watch though. But the joy that you have given me is more. It's more. It's more than they will ever have with all their grain and wine. And here's what he's saying. It's more than the temporary. God, what you give me supersedes the temporal. It goes beyond the here and now. How many of you guys ever pray for a blessing? I have. All the time, in fact. I'm not saying that's even bad. I'm just saying there's more. And I love the psalmist. That the joy that you give is more. It supersedes the temporary and it goes beyond. Okay, three thoughts quickly, all right? Number one is this. If I'm going to have lasting joy, then the first thing I'm gonna encourage you to do is look up. Look up. Look up. We gotta get our eyes higher than the temporary. We've gotta look up toward heaven. We've gotta look up toward God. We've gotta look up toward the eternal. We've got to get our minds and our eyes and our vision, our focus, looking at something beyond the here and now. My attention and my magnification needs to be on the Father. It needs to be on the fact that what I'm a part of is bigger than the part I play. So when it's difficult for me, if I'm looking up, if I'm focusing on eternity, if I'm saying, God, I'm just a part of your story and I'm honored to be able to do it and I'm so thankful to bear your name and I'm so blessed to be your son or your daughter and I'm so thankful, Lord God, that I get to be a part of this, that even when it's difficult, God, I'm just going to look beyond the circumstance. I'm going to look up. Come on, the Bible says this. The Bible says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. God, when I look at you, I am filled with joy, even when my circumstances are crazy, even when it's chaotic, even when I'm stressed out, even when I have anxiety deep within me. Father, when I look at you, when I look at you, I find joy. First thing we're going to do to experience to experience lasting joy is I got to look up. Man, I just need to look at you. I need to look at what you have going on, and I'll be reminded that it's bigger than me. The second thing that we're going to do is we're going to look back. And this is important, I think, for all of us, and it's super important to me. I have this sort of teaching that I do, and anyway, I won't get into it, but I talk about different components as if you're driving a car, and one of the components that I refer to is the rearview mirror, and sometimes looking back is really, really important. In fact, I find in myself that I'm a heavy rearview mirror leader, and here's what I mean by that, is that I often will look back, because when I look back, what I tend to find behind me is deep conviction. Let me explain. When I look back, it's there that I will find things in me that I'll say, that was a great moment. And you know what? What can I do to make that happen again? What is it that I can, what made that great? And how can I reproduce that in my future? Because when I look back, I liked that. When I look back, sometimes I'll say, that was a terrible moment in my life. And it'll drive a conviction that I don't ever want to be that person again. I don't ever want to experience that feeling again. I don't ever want to talk to someone like that again. I don't ever want to lose my cool like that again. When I look back, I find deep conviction. And when I look back, I find great experiences and poor experiences, but it's looking back sometimes that'll motivate me for what's ahead. And in the context of today's message, that what I need to look back on are the things that God has brought me through before. It's refreshing when I remember that, man, the last time I was in a financial pinch and the last time that it was this difficult, God made a way for me. And sometimes the Bible even talks about we should count our blessings. We should count them. We should remember them and bring them back to memory. And there are times when we just look back that, like, yes, God, you've never failed me before. You've carried me through enormous difficulties and trials. You've helped me to overcome some of the most difficult seasons of my entire life. So God, the fact of the matter is, it drives a conviction inside of me that you're going to do that again. That you will hold my broken heart in this season too. That you will help me to move past the loss of this person in this season the way that you did in that season. That you will help me to overcome this financial difficulty now like you did then. That you will help me to get all the way to the point of my healing in this season just like you did in that season. It is looking back oftentimes that drives the conviction and the belief and the reminder that God is actually in control. If I need lasting joy, if I desire lasting joy, then I'm going to have to look up. I'm going to have to look back. Look what the Bible says. I remember the days gone by, and I think about all that you have done. I bring to mind all your deeds. Can you just see the psalmist holding a magnifying glass in that moment? It's intentional. And we've already talked about in this series the mindset of joy. This is one of the things that we can do right here is that, man, I will remember, I think about, and I bring to mind. There's an intentionality. Not only am I looking up, God, at the eternal, but I'm looking back at what you've already done for me and in me. All right, number three, and this is where we're going to close right here. Number three, in order to have lasting joy, I also need to look around. Look around. I'm going to look up. I'm going to look back. I'm going to look around. Here we go. my verse and I'll close. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Man, if we want to experience lasting joy, one of the greatest ways that we can do that, this is how my football coaches used to say it, put your head on a swivel. That meant look every direction. We called it getting an ear hold. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's when the crown of some dude's helmet catches you in the ear hole. That means you didn't see it coming. It was legal back in my high school playing days. They throw flags for that stuff now. But put your head on a swivel. Look around. How can I be an influencer to someone else's life? To their temporary circumstance. To their eternal reward. I love telling stories. Can I just finish with one? It's no secret that I'm just a passionate, avid deer hunter. And one of my favorite things to do as a hunter is to just take trips. I like to go to places I've never been. Part of the fun for me is the challenge of sort of overcoming a new territory. So showing up to woods I've never hunted in and maybe terrain I've never been in or whatever, and seeing if I can close the distance is the term that archers use. And it's just big fun. I can't even tell you how much I enjoy that. And so God has blessed me over the last several years to be able to have these type of opportunities. And so when I take these trips, it always somehow starts out with the deer. But I've learned something over now these last few years that I've taken these trips that it really isn't about the deer. Here's the best part. The deer always becomes the bonus. It really does. And just bear with me a moment, because what I've discovered about these trips that I take is that the greatest value are the relationships. They really are. And so I have great friends that I get to do this with. And I've taken several trips with several different people. And I'm learning that the best part about the woods is just the people you get to do it with. In fact, I've got a big old pegboard in my office, and I've got pins. So I have a map of the United States, and I have pins on it, and then strings go from certain states that I've closed the distance on with photographs of success. And it started with just that. But here in recent history, I've changed its whole perspective. So here soon, because hunting season's drawing near to an end, and it's been a pretty good one for me, if I may say. And so it's going to change this. So my pegboard is going to change. And so it's going to change holistically, though, because what I want on that board is not me and a deer. What I want on that board is me with my friends and a deer, because it's the best part. It's the best part. And so that set the story up. And so this year, just last month, I had the privilege to go to Indiana and hunt with a couple of the serve team members of this church and great friends. And so one of my friends, that's where he's from. He's in this room right now. And that's where he's from. And he said, hey, I've got family and stuff. And like, we can go hunt. He was like the master coordinator, telling you. Like, he just set us up to win. And the ultimate host and all these things. And so we roll up to a group of us, and we roll up, and you know, here we are to have some fun, make some memories, and hunt some deer. And so we are encountering his family and his wife's family and different people that we got to meet and encounter, because we're on the backside of their farm, and you know, we're hunting the strand of woods that they own across that highway, and like that. And so anyway, to get to the point, because I can make this really long if I'm not careful. That one day, Jeremiah was off in his tree stand. Rob and Jeremiah had gone off to the tree stand. I was back at the camp with or the house or whatever you call it with Charlie, and we saw an ambulance going down the road into one of the houses of the family. And so I actually didn't see it, but I saw a text that Jeremiah sent, like, "Hey, there's an ambulance going to Uncle Carl's. I don't know what's going on." And I just shot back like, "Stay in them woods, man. I'm going to keep you posted." And so I jumped on the four-wheeler and drove over there to Uncle Carl's house. And I got to give you a little backdrop on Uncle Carl, okay? Because this is the first time that Jeremiah had met Uncle Carl, too. This is his wife's family. And he had, right, correct? You hadn't met him yet. And I'm going to tell you right now, me and Jeremiah were the first two to encounter Uncle Carl. And he's an intimidating character, to say the least. He's a big old boy and very country. And man, when he showed up, he was like in charge, wasn't he? I mean, he was, it was just, anyway, I'm not going to be able to really lay the groundwork except that this guy was good old country boy. Big, tough, strong guy, you know, and had the making of one of these guys that's just intimidation. I don't even know how else to say it. Is that a pretty good description? Just intimidation. And that was our first encounter. And so we've known Uncle Carl now like 3 days, 4 days maybe. And all of a sudden there's an ambulance going to his house. And I see the text. And I said, no, you hang tight. I'm going to get on the four-wheeler. I'm going to find out what's going on. And so I drive over on the four-wheeler to Uncle Carl's house. And when I roll up, obviously the ambulance are there and there's people or whatever. And I'm asking, like, what's going on? And the EMTs are like, we're not allowed to tell you that. But the family's just over there. And so I just go over and there's Uncle Carl. And I say, what's up? What's wrong? And here's this big, strong, country, tough guy who's broken. Because his wife had fallen. His wife of more than 40 years had fallen and was laying there lifeless. And the ambulance is coming and she's got something going on with her head, some trauma to her head. And they already know that I'm the pastor. And I'm like, what can I do for you? What do you need? And he's like, well, nothing, you know, I'm old. Go to the hospital, follow the ambulance. And I'm like, I was upset. They won't let you get in this ambulance with your wife. No, whatever. Okay. So that's just a digression. So I just simply said, Carl, may I just pray for you? Can I just pray for your wife right now? He said, yeah. So me and his brother and him, we just pray. And I just call on God. God, I just pray for protection. God, I just pray, Father, that you would just protect and guard. I pray for peace. I just begin to pray just like that. I have no idea how he feels about Jesus Christ, religion, church, or preachers. I don't really care. I'm just going to call on God, man. And I just begin to pray. And so they go off to the hospital. So the next day comes, and we hadn't heard anything except that she had a significant injury to her head. And we hadn't heard an update. And so again, long story short, they've been at the hospital and Charlie and I are out. We're trying to get dinner for the guys. Rob and Jeremiah are back in the woods and we're going to get dinner. And I just said to Charlie, man, I want to hear from Uncle Carl. Like, what's going on? And I've made this longer than it needs to be. We get to the little store. I said, I'll be back. I'm going to run in here and grab some things. And so I get out of the car. And when I round the corner, there's Uncle Carl right there. And I'm like, hey, how's your wife? How's your wife? Like, I'm thinking in my head, I was just talking about you. How's your wife? And Uncle Carl puts his hand on my shoulder. They're going to edit it. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, hey, thank you for praying. She's doing much better. In fact, I'm on my way to go pick her up right now. And of course, I'm excited like you. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, yes, this is great news. We were talking about you just moments ago. We've been praying for you, praying for her. I'm so glad to hear it. Man, this is great. He said, no, I'm excited. I'm going to pick her up. I got to watch her for a few days, but man, it's like night and day, night and day. Thank you for praying. And I said, man, it's an honor to pray for you. I'm so glad. And he goes to walk away, and this big old, strong, intimidating country boy says, hey, I love you. I'm like, I love you too, man. I do. And listen, I just say this to say that if my attention had been temporal, if my attention had only been on the deer, y'all don't even know how easy it would have been for me to just tunnel vision, the mission. I wouldn't have been looking around enough to just pray. All I did is pray. That's it. For someone else. It's just a story to remind us all, let's put our heads on a swivel. Look around. Who needs the joy that you carry today? we can provide that source of joy by showing the love of Jesus. We're going to look up. Man, we're going to look back. We're going to look around. Amen, everybody. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to talk to some people right now that maybe you've never made a decision to walk with Jesus. And I just want to give you an invitation to do that right now in this moment. I also want to talk to some of you who maybe you do walk with Jesus, but you found that you have created some distance. You're a little bit far from God right now. Listen, I just want to put you at ease. That happens. That happens. The beauty is that the grace and the blood of Jesus always welcomes us back. Always. And so here's what I want to do. I want to lead you in a prayer. And the prayer that I want to lead you in is simple. I just want you to repeat after me. And for some of you, it's going to be the prayer that you decide. This is me following Jesus for the first time in my life. Others of you, this is you getting back on track with Christ. And here's our prayer. And guys, just like we do it on Sunday mornings, I want you to do it here with me tonight. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision. We love you. Congratulations. Merry Christmas.